Hi, welcome to our latest Internet of Things and Communication Services podcast. This is Anthony Savas, International Technology Editor, accompanied by his esteemed industry guest. Today, the main topic we're talking about is the new opportunities with 5G IoT and satellite connectivity, combined with eSIM and iSIM. The latest 3GPP Release 17 and upcoming Release 18, as part of the next 5G standard, define the non-terrestrial network, the narrowband IoT, that's NB-IoT. As a result, device makers can offer additional services that utilize low Earth orbit, that's LEO, satellite constellations for continuous coverage. Satellite connectivity integration is certainly becoming frictionless for device makers, allowing for seamless transition between cellular and satellite connectivity. But we'll also be talking about other key developments in the communications industry. And we'll finish our discussion with some more lighthearted industry news that has surfaced. Today's podcast is sponsored by Keegan. Keegan is an international company that focuses on eSIM and iSIM solutions, with over 12 years of experience delivering successful IoT projects with established partners. It delivers trusted and secure enablement technologies and services into cellular IoT industries globally. And it works with partners across an extensive technology ecosystem and provides a broad portfolio of solutions that simplify SIM delivery and management throughout the connected device value chain. Just confirm, I'm Anthony Savas. I've been covering the networking and telecom space continuously for the last 25 years, working as a writer and editor for leading international technology magazines and websites. I'm currently a contributing editor for both IoT Now and global communication service provider media platform Vanilla Plus, a sister title of IoT Now. My guests today are Loic Bonvalet, Senior Vice President for Product Marketing at Keegan. Loic oversees product management and marketing for Keegan, helping to facilitate the adoption of a secure, integrated, and cost-effective cellular Internet of Things. Alongside Loic, we also have Toby Grimshaw, Director of Sales and Business Development at Keegan. Toby is focused on working within highly complex ecosystems to successfully deliver partnership and channel enablement programs and solutions across multiple sectors, including, of course, the Internet of Things and cellular connectivity and various industry verticals. But before we go on to our main topic of the day, discussing new opportunities around 5G IoT and satellite connectivity, we'll talk about some other developments. Loic, I understand there's an important GSMA eSIM update. What is it and why is it important for the industry, Loic?
Yeah, hi, Anthony. Thanks for having us. In the GSMA world and the specifications relating to eSIM and IoT, there is one major development, which is the finalization of the specification for the IoT RSP. It has multiple acronyms, but basically it's the evolution of the remote SIM provisioning standards to cater for IoT use cases at large. If we go back quickly in history, there were already existing two standards for the remote SIM provisioning. That is the ability to download connectivity profile onto a SIM card to enable various MNO connectivity on a device. So one, which was called M2M, which is focused on managing fleets of devices, IoT devices. It was mostly used by the automakers to date to enable connectivity in the car, for example. It's been around since 2016, roughly, and it was already widely used. And the other standard was the consumer RSP, which is really focused on enabling connectivity on your day-to-day smartphone, tablet, etc. So you are an end user, and you're basically selecting, I want to connect to this or that operator. And this is a digital delivery of your connectivity to your device, and you as a user are in control. So the industry decided to take on the learnings of these two different standards and have an evolution of, really, it's an evolution of the consumer standard, really taking advantage of the key benefits of a simpler architecture of the consumer standard, but implementing on top of this standard, the fleet management for IoT fleet of devices. So what it allows is increasing the number of connectivity options available on the market it simplified integration compared to the older end-to-end standard. Before, you had to basically do bilateral interoperability between each component. Now it's a much more fluid, I would say, integration, because you have the elements where you store the connectivity profiles and basically an orchestration where you fetch those profiles and you install them on devices. So there will be effectively a much simpler integration between the different parties, where you can be a device maker, a connectivity provider, or even a device management provider, and you can integrate this type of bricks. So more fluidity in this market, simpler eSIM IoT management, and also an important point, taking care of the use cases of low speed, low power one network, so-called notably CATEM and NB-IoT, which allow very constrained use cases, very low power devices, which was not necessarily possible before with the previous standard. So yeah, an interesting development. And we already had the version 1.1 coming out of the technical specification, so-called SGP32, which will be out and published by GSMA next week. So there is already a version 1.0 available. People are working on the test specification, and vendors such as Tigen are already implementing and developing and trialing those technology with our customers.
That's great. That sounds very interesting. I think we'll be talking a bit more about this linked to our main topic. Mm-hmm. But generally, Loic and Toby, what are the big trends you see in the space in terms of security and connectivity enablement, for example? What are the sort of like the things that come to your mind which the listeners will maybe thinking about already or maybe should be thinking about?
I think from my side, thanks, Tony, is that I think a lot of it's currently one of the big trends at the moment is obviously around the sort of ChatGPT with the NLP AI, how that's influencing IoT. And Keegan is always a business that is focused around security. And we're looking at it from one of those pieces where actually how you can improve security. Using AI in IoT, for example, it can assist in implementing, you know, secure authentication mechanisms by analyzing and interpreting natural language inputs. You can benefit from it from anomaly detection, you know, training models and patterns and behaviors in IoT devices and understand what those patterns are in a normal environment. But if there are then, you know, deviations in that, then that could be providing a security or suspicious activity going on. And equally around how it can, you know, provide security education and awareness in educating users on best practice. But wrapped around that from a Keegan perspective is that we also see that AI is expensive on cloud processing. So what we're seeing is that there'll be more and more moving towards the edge and get close to the data source, and they'll load more onto those localized devices. And then that starts to throw up the importance of security, the increase in the need for security for strong IP protection on the device. And that's something Keegan sees its role in around initiatives, GSMA initiatives of IoT Safe, which is looking at how you can leverage the security of the SIM side of a device inside the SIM to ensure trusted data can be delivered to the right location within the fab. And there's a whole space around, I think AI is going to influence IoT per se, and where we're going to be focusing around how you can ensure that increased workload on the edge, that data can be securely captured and delivered to the right locations. And that's a real pinch point Keegan's focused on through our initiative of IoT Safe.
Right. Loic, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, yeah, I think one interesting aspect also is very shortly, the large language models will have absorbed all the data that is publicly available on the internet in a very short time frame. And that is that basically those models will be hungry for fresh data, right? And fresh data here doesn't necessarily have the time of vetting. So when we are looking at IoT data, we're going to need to make sure that it comes from the right sources. It is trusted, it is signed, right? So that it can be potentially consumed immediately by such, you know, a large scale algorithm. So that's really an important point, I think, to say we want to enable as much as possible processing at the edge to reduce the impact of this technology on power consumptions and things like that, and also make sure this data is really trustable so we avoid deviation, manipulation of data. That is already a problem today in this world, to say if the data consumed is incorrect. We have seen incorrect answers in a ChatGPT, and we see that multiple times. So We want to try to enable trustable source of data.
Okay. And more processing at the edge, that's a whole new topic on its own. Maybe we can talk about that another day. So let's move on to the main topic of the podcast. New opportunities with 5G IoT and satellite connectivity, combined with eSIM and eSIM. Right. I understand that it is a major development going on here. But Loic, can you explain what is happening in the next 5G standards around non-terrestrial networks, please?
So the release 17 of the 5G standard has introduced the non-terrestrial network, so-called NTN network concept. And it's basically taking the cellular technology to space, if I can put it simply. That is, it uses constellations of low Earth orbit LEO satellites to offer extra coverage when there is not coverage for the classical terrestrial cellular networks that we all use every day in our daily life. And to achieve that, it basically uses the NB-IoT technology to transport the data, right, from the device to satellites and then to a ground station and then back into the regular networks. So the main benefit of that is for use cases which require continuous coverage, and you have quite a lot of them, right? You might see, you know, container tracking, for example, at sea. You might see telematics in poorly covered areas, sport enthusiasts going out in the woods with no cellular coverage and wanting to be able to transmit emergency messages. This technology enabled that, as long as you have a line of sight of the sky, effectively, to transmit small messages of data via this LEO satellite constellations. So it really does open new opportunities for device makers and service providers, as I mentioned, so in asset tracking, in logistics, in healthcare or well-being sports. This is something that can really bring this missing coverage when it's important. So in that space, Keygan has already enabled players, notably, for example, a partnership with Skylo and Bullitt. Bullitt is a device maker that licenses brands such as Motorola or CAT to bring device to market. And they launched recently two phones, rugged phones, CAT S75 and a Motorola D5 phone as well, which enable, on top of classical cellular function, a two-way satellite messaging services, the services basically delivered by Bullitt. And that allows you within a few seconds to transmit both ways messages, for example, emergency messages. So that is the consumer use case. They also enabled an interesting device, which is a type of a puck. It's called the Motorola D5 satellite link, and it's a device that you pair via Bluetooth to your phones to add this satellite connectivity to your regular phone, and you install an app on your phone to basically be able to send messages over this satellite link. So you don't need necessarily a new device. You can just use the puck, and the puck can be shared across multiple devices to use this service. So also thinking of, you don't need a full device upgrade to actually use these services. So that's more the consumer view of the world. But effectively, you have also several of our module partners that have launched cellular modules that are able to basically combine cellular via terrestrial network and satellite networks. And maybe I'll let Toby speak more specifically on wearables as well.
Just to confirm, Toby, so the next 5G standard developments look quite exciting. And we've seen an IoT now and the vanilla blast coverage, the way low Earth orbit networks are getting closer to what we were talking about before, the edge and NB-IoT and other forms of communication. So what else do you have to add to what Loic talked about there? He talked about sector verticals. And what else have you got for us on around this, Toby?
Yeah, it's a good question, Anthony. So the best way of describing it is through some of the use cases that we're seeing in some of those organizations that we're actually working with, and also how it plays into the evolution of the form factors that are available for cellular connectivity. Most notably, you obviously got your plastic SIM, you've got your eSIM, your discrete SIM, your soldered SIM, and then you've also got the integrated SIM, where effectively it's a hardware secure hardware tamper-resistant element design is actually designed right into the silicon. And the connection between that and this kind of dual SIM, if I can say, put it that way, i.e. using cellular connectivity and then NTN, is that we're seeing device makers trying to exploit integrated SIM now to help meet those new product designs so that they can design a wearable, predominantly a small device, and they can maybe use their existing discrete SIM they're using for their cellular connection. But what they're also starting to look at evaluating and integrating into their product design is using the integrated SIM as the NTN SIM connection. So what it does, the advantage of doing it along those lines, and that's capable of doing it with someone like Skylo, is that it means that you don't have to go and source a separate component to then put into your wearable device. You can just exploit the fact that the iSIM is designed right into the silicon and you can just activate that. So it helps sort of exploit a meter business need of the dual SIM. You know, you want both cellular and NTN, but the form factor you use now, if you're using a discrete combined with an integrated SIM and a small module, helps you do that. So, you know, our module partners on integrated SIM that customers can go and talk to now, people like Murata, Quectel, Circom, Sierra, Telit, all of those organizations have integrated SIMs that can exploit that sort of dual SIM approach. And we do see that as a very exciting way for companies to innovate, particularly on small devices. You know, if they're looking, they're constrained by the size of the device.
Very interesting. So we covered the important issue of form factors there, as well as verticals as well, which is aimed at. But tie this back to the new SGP3132 standards. How and when will organizations be able to take advantage of RSP, remote SIM provisioning, for IoT at scale? And where can they access relevant hardware in our RSP services?
The idea of the new standard is to facilitate the access to various connectivity type. And it's not so prescriptive in the way on how it's delivered outside of meeting security requirements. That is, it gives flexibility in the approach you want to take. Right. If we come back maybe, for example, to the wearable case where you have like a very constrained device with watching the energy consumption really closely, you have already a lot of mechanism that is used to exchange data between the device and remote services, where you can take benefit of all the work that has been spent into optimizing that channel to also use that for the connectivity management as well. So the benefit there is you see an aggregation or a mix between the application and the connectivity management potentially to really be as optimized as possible. Whereas with the early days of the standard in RSP, it was very constrained approach really driven by the telco and the operators. This has changed. With this new standard, you have a much more inputs coming from the device and the hardware world to make that usable. And I think Keegan is chairing the working group that works on this standard, and it's really part of our big goals to make sure that the hardware world is well understood for that standard to be fully baked and finalized. And we already take a lot of effort to broker that discussion with the hardware makers. We see ourselves as the bridge between the hardware and the connectivity provider in that case, and using various shape and forms of SIM functions, eSIM, integrated SIM, to achieve that. Overall, I think really much more flexibility, and we can already leverage today's standard to run first experimentation to deploy this technology and try it in the field, right? I think what we are really proponent of is make sure that the standard is built along the way of field testing it, so we don't get into a standard that is not field implementable. But that's really important philosophy for this group as well.
Yeah, very interesting. I mean, a number of enterprises who were looking at this type of technology, we're talking about connectivity, your internet connectivity there as an important issue. But some enterprise report that there's the issue of global connectivity everywhere is an issue for IoT scale-ups. What do you say about that, Toby and Loic, in terms of those connectivity challenges, which in some ways, you know, Keegan isn't responsible for, even though it has opinions and, you know, with standards bodies which cope with them. What's the overall answer to that, connectivity challenges?
I can only speak from what I've feedback from talking to enterprises that want to innovate in IoT. And at the end of the day, a lot of these organizations want to have a simpler SKU management as possible, and I can deploy my device anywhere in the world and I can get connectivity. But more importantly, what they also want to know is what is possible and what is not possible, and what is possible today and what will be possible tomorrow. And I think what we're seeing at the moment is organizations are very comfortable if they know the scope of what is possible in coverage for them to deploy their devices in line with what is actually possible at the moment. Because we're never going to, yeah, everything is always moving, is my view. There's always going to be something that's coming through that's going to change. And it's about the cadence and when to design in on products. And I think the interesting view is on the stands, particularly around the RSP. That brings, I think, a real acceleration point for IoT deployments. And I think enterprises are very excited by that because it brings the best of both end-to-end and consumer together to solve some of their problems. What we've seen is, and maybe some of the value that Keegan brings to some of those conversations, is we're kind of Switzerland in all of this. We're just trying to do the enablement for enterprises and help guide them to the right partners who can actually support them in their particular agenda. But it's about how to get the cadence right on the product design. And the sort of example of that I can give really is, again, is around sort of an example of integrated SIM. So integrated SIM available commercially in the market today is sort of single profile. It's IUICC, and there will be new product coming through into the market next year, which will be IEUICC, so it effectively RSP compatible. So we're now working with organizations that are designing new products, smaller products, modular products, and they're very comfortable designing in, working with the right connectivity partners on a single profile, and they may use a multi-IMSI or that solution with that. And they're very comfortable designing in a product today. They're taking advantage of technologies available today, designing in, but with an eye to say, I will then do a product, you know, a hardware refresh or redesign in 18 months' time as the new standards start to come together. And I think one of the key elements for enterprises is helping them understand the timelines of both form factor availability, you know, of new form factors that come through in the hardware side, and equally what is available and what will be coming through in terms of access to the technologies on the RSP side. And being able to guide enterprises with accuracy on that builds trust, and it builds trust in the ecosystem. And I think the key element to your core question around how does all of that connect to it, it's about bringing the ecosystem together across all of the partners to help drive this innovation so that organizations and the key major operators can listen to what's required in different regions. It's very much an ecosystem.
Yeah, the ecosystem, that's the key one. I understand that obviously you've made it quite plain that you're a key player in the ecosystem, but I think that there's one example which you were keen to point out from Sierra Wireless, their premium connectivity, which augments and offers greater coverage and quality, apparently. What do you have to say about that?
Maybe I can take this one, and just to say that here, Keegan is providing a toolbox for notably players in the ecosystem to showcase their differentiation. Right. So in the case of Sierra, for example, they do bring to the table both the hardware through the module and gateways and also the connectivity. And when we discuss together, they have to cater for the case where they just sell connectivity. That is, they just sell a SIM card that will be put into a product, not necessarily with their hardware. And they also have to serve connectivity deeply buried inside their hardware product and make this journey as efficient as possible. And so, to achieve that with Sierra, for example, we've been supplying the eSIMOS for a long time. We are now supplying the RSP, the remote encryption platform that allows them to deliver their connectivity profile with their roaming agreement, with the set of IMSIs that they put into their profile. But also for peace of mind for their customer, they can offer an exit and native profiles, say, for example, from the big US MNOs, which is a key requirement for global deployments typically. Most of the device maker and service provider want to ensure that they can work natively at some point when required with the largest North American MNOs. So here, they use a combination of our technologies, both on the embedded side and the server side. And the same goes, we are very prominent in this IoT specialist in the connectivity world, so-called IoT CSPs, connectivity service provider. And we do enable them in different ways. And we also guide our customer and our partners on the hardware side to say, for your use case and your constraints, we believe that this is more appropriate because of reason XYZ, and try to steer them to the best potential connectivity partner when it's relevant based on our knowledge. So that's really something we try to do with our partner, and also some of these IoT CSPs partner outside of the pure connectivity services. They are also starting to bake, you know, additional services such as, well, the security bit. We talked about IoT Safe a bit earlier. Or do I ensure end-to-end applicative data security to cloud, or detection of usages that are out of the ordinary? Say, for example, on the connectivity, you have a device that is constantly using data while it should not. They can differentiate through this type of means. So monitoring the overall security, quality of connectivity, that's where those IoT CSPs can differentiate. And also we see them as really, even with the MNO, starting to really separate the IoT business from the rest of the business, because you need a good dedicated team to cater well for that and to understand the constraint of managing a fleet of, say, NB-IoT devices, which are deployed globally as an example. There is a lot of specific constraints which are very different from your classical 5G smartphone. And you need specialists to understand that.
Well, that's great. Just to illustrate, even just looking at the asset tracking and monitoring market, according to multiple industry analyst house estimates, that market is expected to grow from $4.67 billion in this year to $7.22 billion in 2027. And that's at a compound annual growth rate of 11.5%. So it just illustrates the opportunities for that ecosystem, which you're part of. So thanks for that. I'm sure there are many important, interesting pieces of information for the listeners to digest. But we really want some more maybe light-hearted industry news. Loic and Toby, maybe we can start with you, Toby. You've got a couple of stories that have caught your eye.
Well, I have one that is very close to my heart, which is on the topic of AI. So a US-based organization called Modus Brewing have partnered with an organization called Absolutely AI. And they've actually created, it's under limited edition from what I can understand, is a neural network East Coast IPO. And it was designed entirely through artificial intelligence. And it's quite an interesting one for organizations in itself. It's kind of quite novel of trying to have to track one of these down. But also it's very interesting. They've actually used all of the reviews of all the feedback as an organization from all their customers and taken all of that data to effectively use AI to create the sort of best beer possible based on customer feedback. And I just thought that was it's a nice, interesting, probably a little bit of some marketing around it, but it was quite an interesting way of using your customers to design your products. And I think that's a thread that I think can spread up across a lot of industries.
How about you, Loic? Are you a fan of IPA, Indian Pale Ale?
Yes, and actually one of my stories is also about soft drinks this time. Yeah, IoT used to bring the buzz in soft drinks effectively. And you could see why would that be, right? And it's fairly simple, is that you need CO2, right, to inject into drinks to create the buzz, effectively. And you might have in the supply chain an issue of CO2 containers management. Okay. And so by using cellular connected sensors to monitor containers of CO2, you can ensure proper continuous supplies in the points of manufacturing of, let's say, soft drinks as an example. So this is kind of a optimization of supply chain. And I think in general, it's really, really important to start from the use case and see what is the potential ROI of introducing connectivity. Too often, and I've been working in the space of M2M and IoT for the last 20 years, I've heard, I want to build a connected product, right? Well, for what? And what is the expected outcome of bringing connectivity onto an existing product? And if the person is not 100% clear on what they want to achieve there, likely the project is going to fail. Now, if you say you have an insurance cost problem, right? So things like the smart table can resolve that because it can lower your cost of insurance because you can track continuously the condition of a package and then make sure that, yeah, you can reduce premium of insurance. Really very simple, clear ROI. Here, if you have a supply chain and you have an extra cost because CO2 containers are dispatched in the wrong place, again, ROI that can be put forward. So really, I encourage our listeners there to think about the specifics of their vertical and where is the optimization in their process that they can look at. And maybe another story related to AI, and it's also a bit personal there.
We can't get enough of AI, Louis.
Well, it's not necessarily directly related to using IoT and AI, but effectively, I was at the graduation party for my daughter this week, who turned 18 and went through the French back, which is the end of high school, basically. And so the head teacher went to do their celebration or congratulation speech and started by saying, well, since now all the students use ChatGPT, I'm going to also use it on my going away speech. And she went on with a speech that she created with some prompt about what she does as a teacher in English literature and so on. It was quite funny. And I really enjoyed that, seeing a teacher basically embracing or diving into a technology that the kids that she lives with every day use every day and are very keen to evaluate and play with. And it's been a concern for many teachers, right? But she's trying to take the reverse angle to it and to, yeah, use it for her own purpose. And I found it really encouraging coming from the people who educate our kids. So, yeah,
excellent. Well, that finishes the podcast for today. But first of all, there's some key things to mention. There will, of course, be a transcript of the discussion. And to confirm, there will be links which refer to the stories we've been talking about just now. It just remains for me to say thanks to my guest from evening today, Loic Bombalay and David Grimshaw. In case the listeners want to contact you after Loic, first of all, is there any particular social media platform you would like them to be referred to?
Any channel is open for business, LinkedIn, Twitter, or website, keegan.com/contacts. Yeah, we'll try to cater to your questions for all these various channels. Most likely the keegan.com/contact is the most straightforward because we can then dispatch your queries most appropriately. But yeah, I'm also completely open to the other ones as well.
And Toby, do you have any particular way you want to be contacted by the listeners?
No, LinkedIn is very often a very good place to start, even following Keegan on the LinkedIn environment. It's a very active area for us. But I'm pumping down that way. Very, very happy to help connect folks to the right people in the ecosystem as well. That's part of our role here, connecting people to other people.
That's brilliant. Well, after that very nice discussion, it's goodbye from Toby, goodbye from Loic, and it's goodbye from me. Thanks very much for your attention. Bye-bye now.